Thanks, Mike. Thanks to all of you. I really do appreciate this rally, and I don't know how many years it's been going on, but I'll tell you, I look forward to it all the time. Look forward to seeing all the saints here, and just really appreciate the opportunity. And any of you who are thinking of holding me responsible for giving Mike an opportunity, you can get that out of your head right now. Because not every person that you encourage turns out to be a success. That's just part of the deal, you know. So, I mean, all right. 1 John chapter 2. You know, I always wanted to preach a three-point sermon, and most people would like for me to have a point, but this kind of seemed, almost too plain to pass up, you know. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, number one. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. Number three, boastful pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Let's pray. Lord God, it is our desire to abide forever. Father, it is our desire to have a passionate, intimate, love relationship with our Lord. And Father, help us today to see these things. Father, not just as God things that, well, the world runs after, but God, these are written to us that we might examine, that we might look, that the image that we are created in initially would be clear and profound and high definition to be lived out. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Previously, watch one of those shows. Previously, you see, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Well, we talked about the lust of the flesh yesterday. And the lust of the flesh, you see, is anything that opposes that passionate relationship with the Lord. And often, what opposes that is a performance relationship that is really based in the flesh. See, the good news is not about, you see, going to a place, but the good news is the relationship with a person. And the big A, Antichrist. Antichrist is anything that's, well, you know, the Supreme Court. But the big A, Antichrist, Satan, is the architect of this world system. And the framework then is set by the architect of this system. Now, the devil's had a long time to kind of watch mankind. And you got a pretty good idea how we're going to react. And so, while we tend to think of maybe wild, riotous living, you know, exhibiting the lusts of the flesh. This week, Mary Jo had a couple of days off, and so we decided we were going to go to Shipshawana. And Shipshawana is big old flea market, but it's in Amish country. Well, I've seen a buggies going down. You know what Amish look like. But it occurred to me as I was kind of thinking along this line that, you know, it's not typically what we think of as lust of the flesh. But it is. It really is. I mean, it's kind of diametrically opposed to what we might think of as lust of the flesh. But see, the architect of this system is crafty. He is subtle. And he only needs to get us off, you see, a few degrees. You start out with a false premise. You are guaranteed to reach a false conclusion. And so what they're doing is manifesting what they think is right living, but they've got the emphasis on the flesh. Now, is it possible? Is it possible I need to examine some of the image that I've allowed, you see, the operating system under which I'm laboring? Does that ever have a tendency to creep in? In other words, is my passion set on the Spirit or looking good? I know you're thinking if it's looking good, you're in trouble, man. So, and remember we talked about God knocked the sarks off of Abraham, see, with circumcision. Now that would knock the sarks off. A profound statement that man is not going to be able to accomplish this profound relationship with God on his own. Not only in bringing in the Redeemer, but living out the newness of life is come by the seed of the woman, but born of God. You see the combination there, not only in Jesus' manifestation, but the manifestation of the church. And a lot of very good behavior is carried out in the flesh. And our search for significance is never going to be found in the flesh. Our search for significance is going to be found in the Spirit. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The image. And then, the lust of the eyes. You see, that's what's called a segue right there. See? The image and then the lust of the eyes. So, the second point would be lust of flesh, lust of the eyes. In order to compete in the lust of the flesh, what you're going to need is a way to keep score. How do we keep score? How do I put points on the board? How do I demonstrate to people that I am significant? That I have value. think about the ways in our culture and think about the ways we interact that communicate to one another that I have value, that I matter, that I've arrived. Check this out. It's not complicated. Money, stuff, titles, positions. Education. What's the distinguishing characteristic that gives you significance? It's going to be valued, see? By the lust of the eyes. It's whatever I use to say, hey, I matter. I matter in the kingdom. Well, you do. But where are you finding that significance? Are you finding it right where God has placed you? Are you finding it in the individual, non-glamorous Bible studies? See? If you think that significance, that lust of the eyes doesn't have a tremendous pull on us, go to a class reunion. This is what they're about. Some guys go bald, and they just give up and shave their heads. Even as parents. One child's a brain surgeon, another child's a janitor. Who are you more proud of? People came up to me during a break and said, man, Marshall did a good job. And I don't know whether they mean because of or in spite of. We keep pushing even our kids sometimes into careers that will somehow make us look better. They'll make more money. They'll have more status. And again, the point is, you see, of the rally, that we need to be looking up. Now, we need to be examining the final frontier. Listen. The status quo ain't working. It's not working. So we can't keep doing what we're doing, or we're going to keep getting what we got. And the only way to quit doing what we're doing is with a radical mind change, a transformation by the Holy Spirit that we cannot do on our own, that we avoid the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Not only other people, but in our lives. Why do we buy homes we can't afford if it's not the lust of the eyes? Why do people put hundreds of thousands of dollars on credit cards that they can't pay off? Because they can't do simple math? Why is it that somebody would walk in to their landlord's tanning salon. Put actual money down for a tan and can't pay the rent. What would motivate somebody to do that? Look, you can do until you're blue in the face, budgeting skills, classes on how to manage a budget. I'm not saying there's people that don't know, but I'm saying that by and large, you see, it's not about simple math skills, it's about significance. And if you don't get to the bottom of the iceberg there, you're not going to solve this, see, by putting on a spreadsheet for somebody. They already know. I have to have that house, you see. I have to tell the world I'm somebody. When my self-esteem is in the tank, swipe that card, man. Do some retail therapy. It's not about money. It's not about budgets. It's deeper than that. That's why it's so hard to stop. I mean, the retail outlets play into it. Kohl's Cash. And you talk about a racket, man. Oh, he's grabbing you back into the store, you know, like that. You know, they're rewarding you. You know how much money I saved? Yeah, none. You can't put money down on the counter and save it. That's how a game scored. It's in the lust of the eyes. But when we change our operating system, we change our lens. And we see things from a divine perspective. You see, so that lust of the eyes is no longer about the significance, that other people place that value, or I place that value even on me. And the boastful pride of life. I liked that yesterday. I think Jay quoted the someone said at the ladies' advance that, you know, often we get ourselves in trouble, but pride is what keeps us there. The boastful pride of life is often what keeps us in trouble, keeps us repeating, say, those same kind of mistakes. Now, if I understand this right, I think of you. This Greek word for life here is not zoe, where you'd be talking about like Jesus was the word of life. Now, I did have a piece of spinach pie. It's about all the Greek I know. But I read what it's talking about is, see, it is really the word bios, from our word biology. It's about the very basics of life. It's about what it takes to survive. A heartbeat, lungs, or food. It's the very essence of life in the sense of survival. John's very careful about the wording here. The Frank Sinatra anthem, I did it my way. See? Boastful pride of life. I've spent my life according to the operating system of the world. a big house, really nice car, lots of money in the bank, and people really thought I was something. What difference does it make? At the end of the day, we can all say in unison, big deal. Big deal. See, boastful pride of life is saying I did it my way. And God says at the end of the day, you know, this worldly system never delivers the goods. Never. It's always destructive. And it's critical that the church understands that it's always destructive. It's intended to be destructive. The architect, the author of confusion, that old serpent, the liar and deceiver, the architect of the world's operating system, intends for it to be destructive. And the point is to destroy God's people. This isn't written so we can go, hey, look at that. Look, a unicorn. Misdirection. No. What Satan wants to do is to destroy your soul. And he understands that there is only one number that's important, and that's number one. Maybe we need to spend less time in bemoaning the sweeping governmental decisions that we can't do anything about, obviously, because it's not even elected officials, as if that would make any difference. And what about you? Because that's what Satan is doing. He's not concerned about it. It's already in his clutches. Now, why would he be working hard to get what he's already got? You know what a big deal it is, you see, when he can drag one of us away? Because there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. It's the image. It's realizing who we are. And it seems right because culture is applauding. Culture says, yeah, that's how it's supposed to go. Good job, you see. That's exactly the way you're supposed to live life. But the reality is, at the end of the day, there's no winners. See? You're not feeling good about yourself because you've compared yourself, see? And you think maybe, well, I've compared a little bit better. At least I'm not as bad as. At least I'm better. But then that fills us with arrogance, which is always destructive. Or I compare myself with you, and I don't fare very well, and my self-esteem goes in the tank, and that's always destructive. I want to ask you a question, but I don't want you to participate. Okay? Honestly, anybody here ever suffer from low self-esteem? You ever get those moments where you know, you kind of have some low self-esteem? Let me really. See, there's a real trouble with this stuff. Because I got to work through this before I can present it. And to be honest with you, I ask you to participate. I suffer from some low self-esteem. Sometimes it's covered by humor. Yeah. But sometimes it's really, I think it might be I think it might not only be me. I'm just guessing. But I'm not guessing too much stabbing in the dark because I've talked to a lot of you. I would think that maybe sometimes low self-esteem is a problem for people. You know why you suffer from low self-esteem? I know why I suffer from low self-esteem. Because I am worldly. And if you suffer from low self-esteem, you are worldly. That's what we're being told. Now, that's not to make us feel worse. But see, it's that soul buy-in to that system that places the value on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. I would submit to you that it is easier than we might like to believe to buy into that value system, to pick up some viruses from that old operating system, and say on the basis of comparison and competition that I'm not matching up, and then therefore think poorly of myself. But the intent of that worldly system is to destroy us, brethren. And unless we change systems, it will destroy you. While we're sitting here thinking low thoughts of ourselves on one side of the scale, God is saying on the other side of the scale, celebrating the wonder that we are, and how He has made us to function within the body, and how this is really the most important thing that's going on in this state today is the gathering of the saints. But we don't see it because we buy into the operating system of the world. And that's what leads people to midlife crisis. Halfway through my life, I'm not significant. I don't have value. I'm not keeping up. And now what? Image has to become high definition in each one of our mental pictures. And in order for it to become high definition, it has to be consistently reinforced and to work against the battering ram of this world that wants to bring you down one by one by one. been doing some work with a local nonprofit that reaches out to the elderly and the disabled in our community. So, you know, some senior adults and people with disabilities, they're prone to fall into despair and depression because, according to the operating system of the world, when you can't perform, you don't have any significance. You got no value. You got no worth. So, people fall into despair and depression. How many times do we suffer from performance anxiety even within the church? Because no matter how good I was today, what about tomorrow? What about the next day? It's relentless. There's always somebody better. And I can't slow down because what's at stake is my significance. You know, what's at stake is my self-esteem. So I keep cranking it out. Keep cranking it out. And I feed it, and it leads to more anxiety. I mean, all these problems begin to define who I am. And then that operating system thing, it feels normal. Well, of course. Back to 1 John chapter 2. Don't you see this? This is exciting. I mean, look at this. 1 John chapter 2. No, I made my 3 points. Now, lust the flesh, lust the eyes, pride of life. They're not of God, but they're of the world. Now listen. Now here comes the good part. This world is passing away, and the lust of it is passing away. See? But he who does the will of God abides forever. Praise God, right? Praise God! He who does the will of God abides forever. Are you excited yet? That's exciting stuff! So, I know this for a fact. I know it because God said it. I know it because it's true. I know it because the Bible's the Word of God. This text says it's passing away. It doesn't hold up. It doesn't work. It doesn't deliver the goods. This world system always destroys. So what do? Now I keep working this system every day. Every day. Every day. Every area. You see, because a transformation of the mind is going to produce a transformation of the character. And transformation of the character is going to produce a transformation of behavior and performance. That's why some people get upset when we talk about money. Something deep inside saying, thinking, hey, wait a minute, you're asking me to give up a part of my significance. These are points that I can put on the board, and you're asking me to give them up? Even to the extent of who we give to. We'll never really be generous with our time or our talents or our money or our treasures, as long as we're not looking up. As long as we buy into this operating system, I can never really love somebody because I'm competing with everybody else. But that's not the only option. The option is to believe the Word of God and to know because God tells us so, that in this operating system, in this economy of grace, not license, in this operating system of faith, it's the polar opposite of the performance-based system. No matter what masquerades, you see, whether it's Miley Cyrus or the Amish, the result's the same. There it is. No, I mean, I got to tell you, I'm a little more comfortable with the Amish. Right? But you know what? Because I am makes it even more dangerous. Now, there ain't no chance of me twerking. No chance. But, you know, I got a hat. They didn't grow me a beard. See? And I appreciate their conviction about... It is on the basis of Jesus' performance that these changes in my performance can take place. Now, it doesn't mean that it's all imputed. It becomes practicing, but the motivation is completely different. The outflow valve, see, is that of being rightly related to God. No longer by the stuff of this world or how anybody else views it, see? I'm no longer defined by my performance, by my houses, by my cars, by my stuff, by how many people I baptize. But on the basis of His grace. And His grace never goes up, never goes down. It's consistent because it's rooted in the character of God. And that frees us up to perform at a higher level. Because now our sense of significance is not at risk. It sets me free to have the courage to live by faith and fulfill the calling that God has put on my life. And suddenly, I'm free to actually love you. And you don't even have to say, I love you back. It's no longer a competition. It's no longer a comparison. I don't have to compete anymore. I really don't care if I match up to you. You see? Because it's not about that anymore. I'm actually set free to love people and just give myself away and to celebrate people and to cheerlead people and to be happy for people. Over the years, I've done a lot of funerals. I always kind of get together with the family and I say, you know, anything you'd like for me to remember about the person who's passed. And never has anybody said, make sure you mention that you had a really big house. Make sure that you mention that I had a real nice car. Make sure that you mention he had a title or had this much money in the bank. You see, there's something about that defining moment when we understand deep down that the stuff really doesn't matter. And unless I choose to operate with a faith-based system, then I will operate with the system that will ultimately destroy me. And one thing I know for certain, I can choose to live my life by the operating system of the world, which is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Or I can choose to live my life on the basis of the operating system of faith. But I can't do both. That option is not on the table. That's why lukewarmness makes Jesus want to puke. You can't be. You can't love God or money. What was he just talking about? Greenbacks. If I'm going to operate according to the world, then I can't operate according to the system of faith. These systems are not compatible. There's a choice. There's a daily choice that needs to be made. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. The road is narrow, and there's going to be few that find it. But it is the road that leads to eternal life. And the only flooding that occurs on that road is when someone asks us, there's water, what hinders me to be baptized? And so when the ditches are overflowing, that's what we need to be thinking about. Not, oh, woe is me, can God get me through some water? Don't worry, you'll get back home. If you don't, he'll build a boat. He's done it before. God loves us. He wants the best for us. That's not the question. The question is, what do you want?